Hear what the Spirit of the Church is saying to us as we read from the Gospel of Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The first Sunday in this season of Lent always lands us in the wilderness, in the desert. In the Bible, that's a metaphor for the last place on earth, a place of uncharted territory, anything but comfortable, rarely desirable, and a place we would never choose to go because it appears to lack everything that we need to survive. No matter which gospel we read from, the first Sunday of Lent takes us there. And it is the terrain that we inhabit for the next 40 days. Why there, we might wonder? Of all possible places on earth, why there? In part, the answer lies in the stories we have, in the stories of Jesus in the wilderness, and the stories that he is steeped in of his ancestors in the wilderness. And in part, the answer lies in the stories that we ourselves have lived of our own wastelands, when grief came pounding at the door, or depression. Or we got handed the pink slip, or we're informed of a diagnosis, or when our marriage collapsed, or our body, or our mind went vacant. And all the usual comforts or distractions or whatever we count on to get us through, they weren't there or proved useless. Maybe you know those wastelands. As harsh as those wilderness sojourns are for us, for Jesus, for the Hebrew people, chances are it's there that we discover some things that we might never have otherwise come to know or trust. Deep truths about ourselves and our capacity to endure. Deep truths about what truly matters. Deep truths about the nature of God and the Spirit's way with us. For this morning, I've asked two people to speak to us about a wilderness experience of their own. And something perhaps about the role of James Bay United Church in that experience. And so with thanks, Johan, we would be grateful to hear from you.
I made it. It happened just recently, actually, at the Uptown shopping mall. A little girl passed me by and very innocently said to me, "Sir, why are you walking so funny?" And for you who don't know me that well, you might ask the same thing. Well, it was December 2016, just 1 week before Christmas, that I had a stroke. And as my Bible called The Message, which comes in contemporary language, states clearly what happened to me. The Spirit pushed me out into the world. And you probably understand this better when you become familiar with the lifestyle I had up till the day of my stroke. At age 87, I still jumped on my bike, for sure twice a week, hit the Galloping Goose Trail at the Inner Harbor where I live, and biked all the way to Sydney and back. Now, you might ask, why all the way to Sydney? Well, I have a confession to make. I had a friend working in Sydney, and he worked for the 7-Eleven store. So I was counting always on a free coffee. they didn't have Hugo there, so. Anyway, the first full year of my stroke, the 2017, was a tremendous challenge. And I was not a nice person at all. Actually, I remember I had a tiff with this lady here. But slowly, I started realizing that my handicap can be used as a positive way. Very often, a stroke is looked at as a negative event. But for me, it became a positive happening. Galatians mentions that we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. What matters is more on the interior. And for me, it became more and more a time of the Spirit. Not just holding it as an event in my mind or a sentiment in my heart, but working out its implications in the details of my life. And the joy I received was just unmeasurable. Yes, I have difficulty talking about my faith. And I found that many people really don't want to listen to you anyway. But I can now live my life with joy. And that is being noticed time and time again. For instance, the day after Christmas, December the 26th of this past year, I had a friend, Darren, visiting me from Vashon Island. And before he left me that evening, he gave me a big hug and said, "Wow, I forgot that you were always so joyful." And I received a Christmas card from my friend Logan in Montreal, where he's studying right now. And in part it reads, "Merry Christmas, Johan. Thank you so much for your love and support this past year. I know it has been a difficult year for you, but despite it all, you never stop radiating a joy and optimism about life. And that helps me to pick up myself and try again." And then the angels took it one step further, actually 3 days further, because on December the 29th, Karen's message was about joy. Karen mentioned that joy is not a mood. It is something that we can belong to. So I made copies of her message and sent one to my friend and one to Logan and one to Darren. But as the card of Logan indicates, there are many people who have difficulty with life. People can be challenged in so many ways. It's important that we don't forget about them. I will never forget the Christmas Day 2016 when Karen came into the hospital room with a complete Christmas dinner. Just spread your joy. A card, a call, a visit, a ride in the country, whatever suits the person we are in touch with. We want to be bearers of joy. And Mary Oliver finished one of her poems with the following sentence, and I want to finish with that also. She wrote, "I don't want to end up simply having visited this world."
Terry, who has recently arrived into our midst, also so readily agreed to speak to us this morning as well. Thank you, Terry.
Okay. Well, as a newcomer to your church, I'm honored to share my reasons for why I'm here. And I found our reading today is just perfect for me because your church has offered me a respite from the wilderness of the climate grief and anxiety that I've been experiencing. Wild beasts, they're hidden behind your curtain, but wild beasts and angels have welcomed me. So just let me share a little bit more. Like some others here, I'm a refugee from Ontario, and my husband and I moved here about 14 years ago, and I've been active in the United Church ever since. As a retired college vice president, I've been able to follow my passion for environmental justice, Indigenous rights, and electoral reform. I journeyed to Mordor in 2012, the tar sands, and was welcomed by local First Nation families. I saw their physical, emotional, and spiritual suffering firsthand, caused by the devastation of their once beautiful land. In 2015, I met local farmers and Indigenous people in the Peace River Valley who are still resisting the flooding of their land by the Site C Dam. And I would say these two pilgrimages changed my life. I live by Victoria's Harbor, as many of you do, so the Trans Mountain Pipeline has also been on my mind. And these days I feel like the BC legislature is my second home, as the Wet'suwet'en people defend their land from a fracked gas pipeline and need our support, and I've been going whenever I can. But the more I read and reflect about the climate crisis, the harder it is for me to have faith in human beings. I'm horrified at what we've done to our paradise and how we've extinguished so many wild beasts. The burnt koala bears in Australia break my heart. So do the poisonous tailing ponds in northern Alberta, in which the innocent birds drown. And Greta and the scientists keep telling us you have 10 years left to stop this speeding train. I've been tempted by Satan in this wilderness, just like Jesus was, by despair and cynicism, by anxious insomnia at 3 a.m. in the morning, by the desire to just say, forget it, I'm just gonna hunker down, turn my back and buy a new oven, and by the promise of power and fame through electoral reform. That was an eye-opener for me. I'm still tempted, but the wild beasts keep me company, just as they did Jesus. While we humans sleep, the whales and the salmon choke on the plastic in our polluted oceans, and I just can't ignore their suffering. And then I met an angel called Karen Dickey and heard about your commitment as a church to act in the face of the climate crisis. And not many churches are addressing this. And I've been searching for a faith community that would truly take up this challenge. I hope I found it, and I look forward to participating in the book study this week, Climate Church, Climate World. But I need more than fellow activist angels. I'm looking for spiritual leadership, as I suspect many of us are. Some of my questions: where is God in all this mess? Who or what is God as we contemplate multiverses, quantum physics, and the likelihood of another mass extinction? What is evil? Where does it come from? Does Jesus still speak to us? Well, he certainly spoke to me today. We are not alone. I was deeply moved, as Johann was, by Karen's recent sermons about expressing grief and finding radiance in the midst of her father's death. She too has visited Mordor and is a trustworthy guide. And you have other angels here too, angels that play the piano, that strum the guitar and blow their horns on Tuesday nights. And as the daughter of two jazz critics, I feel at home. And as Karen points out, we must find joy amidst the sorrow. So thank you for welcoming me so warmly, and may we journey together out of the wilderness.